So speaking of let's stick together, let me tell you where it came from. It actually came from an illustration. There's a man who couldn't swim, and he went fishing with his friend, and after a while he caught a really big fish, and he was so excited about catching such a big fish that he leaned too far over, and he fell into the water. So he started yelling, "Help me, save me, save me." His friend reached out, was going to grab him by the hair and get him back in the boat, but the man's toupee came off, and he slipped back into the water. He came up again and said, "Help me, save me." This time his friend grabbed him by the arm. As he pulled his arm, the arm came off because it was an artificial limb. The man continued to kick and thrash around. The friend reached and managed to grab a leg. And wouldn't you guess it, as he pulled on it, it came off too because it was a wooden leg. As the man continued to splash, calling out for help, his friend disgustedly said to him, "How can I help you if you won't stick together?" You know, many times I think that that's the case with the church. I think that God looks at the church and he says, "How can I help you if you won't stick together?" Everything that we do, we can do so much more if we do it as a body of Christ, not as individual Christians. There are many Christians who like to serve Christ in their own bubble, but I will tell you that was never the intention of Jesus Christ and Christians. They were intended to serve in a community, and it was a community of believers, and it's a community called the local church. And that's how he intended for all of us to serve, because he knew two things. Number one, he knew that you and I needed a community of believers, both to encourage us and to hold us accountable. And secondly, he knew that so much more could be done for the cause of Christ in us coming together and doing it instead of trying to do it on an individual basis. And so it's very important this morning that I want to speak to you on this topic of let's stick together. It's the issue of teamwork as a body of Christ. Now, who am I speaking to? I'm speaking to Christians who know Jesus Christ as Savior, who've been faithful members for many years at Somerville Baptist Church. But perhaps through the years, you find yourself letting others do things that once you were involved in doing. I'm speaking to those who are new members, that you're trying to find your place. And you want to serve, but where should I serve? And it's an encouragement for you to be very aggressive about that and find a place to serve. I'm speaking to those who are attenders that have not yet joined Somerville Baptist Church. They're not a part of this local church body. And the need for you for that to happen and to take care of that today and to let the Lord speak to you and let the Lord lead you, that you need to be a part of a community of believers. And that means to be a part of the membership of that, the covenant that comes with that, and the accountability and encouragement that's associated with it. I'm also speaking to those who don't know Christ as Savior. Those who are not a part of the body of Christ, but who need to become a part of the body of Christ. And those that need to be accepting of Him today and let Jesus Christ transform you from the inside out. That's also who I'm speaking to. So for just a few short minutes, I want to speak to you about sticking together. Number one, write this down if you would, please. Teamwork is a vital part of life in the body of Christ. Teamwork is a vital part of life in the body of Christ. She just mentioned it, that they will know us by our love one for another. Jesus Christ intended the world to be drawn to Him. When the Son of Man, Steve mentioned this verse, when the Son of Man is lifted up, He will draw all men to Himself. Well, how is the Son of Man going to be lifted up in the world around them? By hearing our voice, but even more so by seeing our actions. Do people see the love of Jesus Christ in the membership of Somerville Baptist Church one toward another? I will tell you this, the nurses and doctors at the hospital where I have been for the past couple of years, they have seen it through Somerville Baptist Church. We had several of the nurses that came to Somerville Baptist Church as a result of seeing how the church loved on me as a fellow member of Somerville Baptist Church. That's a wonderful testimony. I have a question for you. Would the world see that in you? As a member, as an attender of Somerville Baptist Church, would they be drawn to Jesus Christ by seeing the love that you have for one another? Would they be drawn to His church by seeing the love that you exhibit for fellow believers within this body of Christ? You know, the Redwood Forest. How many of you have ever been to the Redwood Forest out in California? Man, that's an incredible place. The Redwood Forest has trees that stand several hundred feet high. What's amazing about these trees, they're the largest living things on earth. They're the largest trees in the world. They stand over 300 feet high. They're more than 2,500 years old. And you would think that a tree like this would have a root system that would go probably almost as deep as it goes up. But that's actually not true at all. In fact, the root systems for the redwood forest are actually very shallow. So how in the world do they take the beating from the wind that comes off the Pacific Ocean? How do they stand during the storms if these huge trees that you know have to draw an intense amount of pressure from wind and rain when a storm comes through? How do they stand? Well, the truth is that the root systems are very shallow, but the root systems are intertwined with one another. Were you to pull the ground back and look, you would see that these huge trees are all a cobweb of root systems that connect and combine and twist around each other to the point that together they can stand. Alone, a redwood tree would never be able to make it. But together with these root systems intertwined, then you're able to see these humongous trees for over 2,500 years standing over 300 feet up in the air. That's a great picture of teamwork. That's a great picture of the body of Christ. Our lives ought to be intertwined with one another. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm kind of a loner. I understand that you're kind of a loner, but I want you to listen to me. I'm kind of a loner myself, but the people of God need you. And you need the people of God. Teamwork is a vital part of life in the body of Christ. There is no way to experience God's blessing in this ministry unless we have teamwork. There's no way to experience what we're trying to get done with the Filipino project. We're trying to raise first the $10,000 to pay off the property, and then we're trying to raise $16,000 for them to buy the lot beside them, and then we're trying to raise the $30,000 to build the building. That can never happen at Somerville Baptist Church unless we all come together. But it can happen when we all come together. We've seen it happen. We've already built one building in the Philippines. We've already built a church building that's thriving now. And Angel and Rhoda, as a scene, are doing a tremendous job over in the Philippines. And God is filling up that building. And now they have a parsonage where they used to sleep on the ground in the basement underneath the church. Now you're having them in an apartment in the side. The Lord allowed Somerville Baptist Church to do that. Now we have a whole Bible Institute that we have 16 different students that are training for ministry, along with Gerald and Candy Condi, the pastor of the church there. The men, the young men that are training for ministry are sleeping outside. They're in this shack made of just plywood in the elements there, the Philippines. We can be a huge blessing and leave a mark for years, but we have to have teamwork in order to do that. We want to be able to take on every missionary that we have coming in Missions Month. But we'll have to have teamwork in order to do that through the giving to Faith Promise Missions. Teamwork is a vital part of the life of the body of Christ. Secondly, teamwork in the body of Christ requires everyone's contribution. Teamwork in the body of Christ requires everyone's contribution. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 8 through 10. Do we have that on the screen? It says, and above all things, have fervent charity, love among yourselves. Just what Keisha was singing about. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Have you ever heard of a church getting offended, somebody getting offended at one another? You ever heard of a church fight? It's an amazing thing when believers love one another, how much a multitude of sins is covered up. How much offenses fall by the wayside. Hey, you know what? That was offensive. But I love you and you love me. Let's set this aside and let's go on for the cause of Christ. Let's get the job done. We have a purpose. We have a passion. We have a hope. We have a message. He continues on. He says, then use hospitality. And that literally means the ability to host, the ability to be a friend to someone. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. In other words, it's not just your homies that you're being hospitable to. It's an entire church. And that means that it's not just your clique, it's not just your circle of friends, but you're inviting, whether it's people of an older generation or whether it's people of different likes and dislikes, you are fellowshipping with them. You're having times of union with them. You're having times of camaraderie and friendship with them. And then he says this, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What does he mean by that? I don't want to go back on the screen, but in 1 Timothy, or 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19, he says that we are laborers together with God. But then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and down in verse 12, all the way down through verse 27, he describes how we are to be, we're given gifts, and how these gifts are to be used in the body of Christ. Every single one of us have a gift that God has given. Whitney, God's given you a gift to serve in the local church. James, God's given you a gift. BJ, God has given you a gift, or several gifts it could be, to serve in the local church body and to act that out in the ministry of the local church. Luke, God's given you gifts to be able to do that and to serve God with. Now, here's the question. He says this at the end of this passage. He says we're to do this as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, the grace of God that saved us, the overwhelming grace that was given to us in salvation, and then after salvation, to serve Him, to say no to sin and say yes to God. He says, as a result of that, we ought to be using the gifts. Don't hoard those gifts. Don't keep them for self-service. Don't keep them. Many people that serve Jesus Christ outside the local church on their own, often you'll find them doing this for a self-service. It's a self-satisfaction. I am telling you that God gave you those gifts not to serve Him on your own, but to serve Him within the confines of the body of Christ. That was His plan. Now, you can argue with me all you want to, but read 1 Corinthians 3. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In just a moment, we'll read Ephesians chapter 4. He's given you those gifts to use within the body of Christ. Don't be selfish with the gift. I love those who say, well, you know, Pastor, the gifts that God's given me aren't really great gifts. The gifts that God's given me aren't really a big deal. Winston Churchill, in a great speech, a famous speech that he gave to the coal miners there in England that were vital to the war cause, he said this. He called the labor leaders together, and at the end of the presentation, he asked them to stand with him and to picture in their minds a grand parade which he knew would be held in Piccadilly Circus after the war. First, he said, would come the sailors who had kept the vital sea lanes open. Then would come the soldiers who had come home from Dunkirk and then gone on to defeat Rommel in Africa. Then would come the pilots, those brave men who had driven the Luftwaffe from the sky. Last of all, he said, would come a long line of sweat-stained, soot-streaked men in miners' caps. Someone would cry from the crowd, "And where were you during the critical days of our struggle?" And from 10,000 throats would come the answer, "We were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal." You know, not all of us are called to public gifts. Not all of us are called to preach or teach or to sing, but we're all called to serve in some way. We're all called to use our gifts. God's given every single one of you that are believers in Jesus Christ something to use within the body of Christ for His honor and glory and to reach lost people with the gospel. Now, are you not going to do that? Vesta Kelly said, "Snowflakes are one of nature's most fragile things, but just look at what they can do when they stick together." Teamwork. Teamwork is a vital part of life in the body of Christ. Teamwork in the body of Christ requires everyone's contribution. Thirdly, teamwork is the product of genuine love for Christ and for one another. I added those two words myself. take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. I want you to listen to what the Scripture says about the love that believers ought to have one for another. He says in verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Did you just catch what he said there? He said, you want to know one of the true marks of whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? By the way, in Matthew, it said that many will say in that day, Lord, did we not do many wonderful works in thy name? Did we not cast out demons? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, where does that come from? It comes from that means that many in the church today don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's one of the grand tests of whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Pay attention to this, if you would, please. We know that we have passed, verse 14, 1 John 3, from death unto life. Why? Because we go to church every Sunday. Because we give and throw a couple of bucks in the plate every week just to make ourselves feel better, as opposed to tithing and giving of offerings. That every once in a while we'll help feed the hungry, or we'll help at the food closet or at the clothes closet. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. In other words, I want you to listen closely, Christians. For those of us in here who have a heart of bitterness and hatred toward someone around us, he says not only do you need to forgive that person, you also, if you're going to hold on to that without repentance or remorse, you need to check on your own salvation. Because a brother in Christ can't do that. He continues on. In verse 15, or verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" You hear about what's going on in the Philippines. We hear about what's going on in Zambia. We hear about the need of the missionaries. And we say, there's brothers of Christ that are in need, that need to go out and they need support to be able to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, no, that's going to be for those other Christians. That's not going to be me. Oh, I get so bored in Missions Month. That actually was a fake yawn up until about halfway, and then it was a real yawn. I get so tired about the church talking about money. Well, let me tell you something about Faith Promise and our missions giving. There's not an ounce of that money that stays here at Somerville Baptist Church. How can you say that you love God, and yet when you hear that your brother has need, you shut up your bowels of compassion? But, oh, I love God. How can you love God and not love what he loves? That's an impossibility. How many times, ladies, have we sat in front of a football game because he loves football? Especially in our early days. Do you remember that? How many times, guys, have we sat down and watched a Christmas movie on the Hallmark Channel because our wife loves to watch the same plot line over and over 57 times? Because you love her. A.W. Tozer said this: when they used to tune pianos, they do it electronically now, but in old times, and many still do it this way, they'll tune the piano with what they call tuning forks. A.W. Tozer said this, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. See, leave that quote up there, if you would, for just a moment. That's where I think that the church of today is going wrong. We preach unity, but the trouble that we ought to be, that instead of preaching unity, what we ought to be preaching is to keep our eyes looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. If we're all looking at the same target, we're all going to end up at the same location. And the closer that we all come to Jesus Christ, the closer that we all come together. It's not about loving one another near as much as it is about loving Jesus Christ. And the more that we love Him, the more that we love one another. And the more that we love one another, the more that we're able to accomplish together as the body of Christ. Teamwork. It's a vital part of the body of Christ. Teamwork in the body of Christ requires everyone's contribution. Teamwork is the product of the genuine love for Christ first and then for one another. And lastly, teamwork makes our individual effort go much farther. The last passage I'd like you to look at is Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. And beginning at verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. He's talking about the gifts, the calling that God has placed on individual believers within the local church itself. He says this, and he gave some believers these gifts. He gave some apostles. Those now have passed off the scene. But what continues on is this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, that really being the same position, a pastor teacher. And this is why. Watch verse 12. This is very important. For the perfecting, the word perfecting there, maturing, growing of the saints. In other words, the reason that God gave these offices in verse 11 was for the purpose of verse 12. It was for the growing of the saints. It was for you to become mature believers in Jesus Christ. That's the reason he's giving you pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. But that's not where it stops. He says it's to the purpose of the perfecting of the saints, which is then to the purpose of, if you look at that, for the work of the ministry. I thought that's what we paid you the big bucks for. No, you paid me the big bucks to work one day a week. The reason that I'm called is in order to have you find your calling so that in turn you fulfill that calling in reaching lost people for Jesus Christ. He continues on in verse 12. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. That is not the pastor's job. That is the body's job, is to build up one another, to strengthen one another. In other words, teamwork causes the effort to go much farther. We can do so much more for the cause of Christ together than we can ever do separately. He continues on. Till we all come, verse 13, in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Now watch verse 16. He says, from whom the whole body, he's talking about every single one of us in here today, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. In other words, God designed every single piece. to be joined together within the local body. You have a unique and special part in this body of Christ. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. In other words, every single part, every single member is doing their job, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, every single part of the body doing its job causes the entire body to grow. You want to see Somerville Baptist Church grow? I do. Then let me tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take Talia McKelvey. And it's going to take Jeff Hudgens. It's going to take Ed Allen. It's going to take Ray Long and Anthony Beckin. Don't you love when I do this? Lord, please don't let him call my name. So it's going to let him take Larry Kirkpatrick and Stan Finley. Richard Stickles. I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but it's going to take Richard Stickles. It's going to take Jason Stevens. It's going to take every single one of us. We are the body of Christ. You are part of the body of Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior. Today, if you don't know Him, then we want you to become a part of the body of Christ. If you do know Him, then we want you to be a part of doing your part in the body of Christ. Look, guys, it's time to join. It's time. It's time to quit being spectators now. You've been healing. You've been watching. Now it's time for you to be a part of the solution. God has given you gifts that are vital to this body of Christ. Well, just this has to happen or that has to happen. Maybe what has to happen is for you to finally say, look, it's time for us. It's time for me to quit sitting on my holy seat of excuses and to say, it's time to get busy. Members of Somerville Baptist Church, it's time to quit being a spectator. Rich or poor, educated, uneducated, multi-gifted or single-gifted, be a part of the body. We can do so much more together than we can ever do separately. Now, Satan has been trying to distract us all day because he's trying to get you to tune off to what I'm saying. But he's speaking, and you know that he's speaking to you. You know he is. I love an old Peanuts cartoon. Lucy walks in, Charlie Brown's watching television. He's kind of propped back on a pillow. And Lucy walks in and she just changes the channel. And Charlie Brown gets up and he changes the channel back to where it was. And he goes, you can't just come in here and do that. She says, oh, yeah? He goes, yeah. Well, you better believe I can. She goes, you see these five fingers? Yes, so what? Well, individually, they can't do much. But then it shows her with a curled fist. But together they can cause a world of pain. He says, what channel would you like to watch? And then the next caption shows him looking at his fingers and he says, why can't you guys come together like that? We can accomplish much more than our individual efforts can together. According to USA Today on Wednesday, November the 23rd, 1994, a couple named Sandy and Teresa boarded TWA Flight 265 from New York to fly to Orlando to see Disney World. Teresa was almost 7 months pregnant. I'm not sure why you want to go to Disney World when you're 7 months pregnant. But 30 minutes into the flight, Teresa doubled over in pain and began bleeding. Flight attendants announced that they needed a doctor, and a Long Island internist volunteered. Teresa soon gave birth to a boy, but the baby was in trouble. The umbilical cord was wrapped tightly around his neck, and he wasn't breathing. His face was blue. Two paramedics rushed forward to help, one of whom specialized in infant respiratory procedures. He asked if anyone had a straw. which he wanted to use to suction fluid from the baby's lungs. The plane did not stock straws, but a flight attendant remembered having a straw left over from a juice box she had brought on board the plane. The paramedic inserted the straw in the baby's lungs as the internist administered CPR. The internist asked for something he could use to tie off the umbilical cord. A passenger offered a shoelace. 4 minutes of terror passed. Then the little baby whimpered. Soon the whole crew was able to joyfully announce that it was a boy, and everyone on board cheered and clapped. The parents gave the little boy the name Matthew. Matthew means God sent. The people on board the plane were, quote, the father says, all God sends that day. God met the need through people who gave what they had and did what they could. God usually meets the needs through his people. Now I'm asking, from young to old, from new to people who've been here for a very long time, what part will you have in building the body of Christ? Let's stand together this morning.